It is essentially a case of the majority paying for a few concerts. Nothing more, nothing less.
Ms. May, I know your response?
Well, right now, I guess you can say that it's the minority paying for the majority because students do come out to our events, but it's primarily the people that pay into the Access School that initially fund that. And that's just the nature of our events. So a week is the large sum, and we do acknowledge that. But a week is in place as a full long week of orientation programming to orientate first-year students with their campus. It's for either first-year students or upper-year students. The importance of it is extremely important. Students are dropped off literally on a curb. I help them move in every year by their parents, and they're on their own for the very first time. And it's to take their mind off of being away from home, and it's to get them orientated with their faculty, to meet friends. It's that first week that you are here sets the tone for your entire year, so it's very much important, and that's just the nature of it. It's a week long of programming. Those events, those special events that we do monthly, they do just cost less, but they're still important.
Welcome to Season 2 of Point of View. I'm Chandra Ligatvalvi, and this is the third episode in Season 2 where we are talking about politics at Brock University Students' Union and at the Brock University Administration. This is an interesting year, and today's episode we are taking a break from the normal flow of political narrative for the big event. This is the BUSU election period, where there are 7 positions up for vote. Voting takes place through Brock email. An email is sent to undergraduates of Brock University, and they will be able to vote between February 11th and 13th. The BUSU's executive team is being decided by the public in this election period. Of course, there is only one candidate for the BUSU presidency, that is Roland Ehrman. Mr. Ehrman is currently the Vice President of University Affairs, and after a constitutional amendment took place in October, maybe the last Vice President of University Affairs. This year was the first campaign period for the newly created Vice President of External Affairs, and there are 3 candidates for that. All of the referendum and election debates and presentations were broadcast in a debate live on Brock TV at brocktv.ca, as well are featured on the front page and in a section in the Brock Press, page 18, to learn all about the referendum levy in their own words, as well as in this episode, at the end of this episode, we will be rebroadcasting the program levy's debate, a 15-minute debate between BUSU's Liv Mariano on behalf of the Yes campaign.
Right now, we are running a programming levy, a referendum, and it's because 93% of the programming that BUSU puts on for you is due to sales.
And Jason Tucker on behalf of the No campaign.
So you have an organization that is asking for money for financial gain, whether it be for patronage, whether it be in missing money, and that's a legitimate question.
Basically, it's funded primarily through the Access School program, as well as the sponsorship we bring in. And we realize that this isn't best practice when you compare it to other institutions, and it's not a sufficient way of moving forward in the future.
You have an elected official of that organization standing here campaigning on behalf of the Yes side, and you have that same organization overseeing both the media and the election itself. You call it accountability. I call it a conflict of interest.
On today's episode, we have an interview with Liv Mariano, the representative of the Yes campaign for the $32 per student fee. She's joining us on the telephone to talk about why she's advocating this fee and the benefits she believes it'll bring to the student body. Before we get into that, let's talk about one of the other stories that we've been covering here on Point of View. Fed Up, the Affordable Food Project, continues to be on the ropes. Right now, trying to figure out its footing. Basically, the long and the short of it is that the Fed Up, which is a $2.80 per credit referendum that was brought to council in December as a student-led petition, but was suspended in January when the Brock University administration wrote an email that said, quote, Brock University is currently seeking legal advice around the liability and legality for the collection of third-party ancillary fees, and as such a referendum cannot be held at this time until a decision has been made. With this email being sent Student Council made the decision to suspend the referendum. Of course, the bylaws and constitution that define the rules of a student-led petition referendum appear to be in violation, but the boss in town is the university. And there's a long video at brocktv.ca. You can see the first ever live cast video, which Brock TV broadcast straight from council chambers on this last Tuesday. It's a big and a deep meeting. And so what we've done at brockbug.com is go through some of those. So what we've done at brockbug.com is go through the video feed from Brock TV and trim it down to the essential quotes. We have now at brockbug.com a report, a video report featuring M. Hepler, Cooper Millard, and Peter Hennen, who all contribute to a video that I've produced and published at brockbug.com. So if you want to learn about what is happening in the FedUp referendum, check out that video. In the pursuit of journalism, I have sent an email to Kim Mead, the Vice Provost of Student Services of Brock University. She's previously come on the program to talk about the student life fee, and I felt confident that Ms. Mead would respond to an email I sent. And indeed, she did. And so I'm going to share that response with you now, including the questions that I posed to the administration.
To get in touch with the program, you can reach us at povradiobrock.tumblr.com, on Twitter at povradio, on facebook.com/povradio, and at povradiobrock@gmail.com. Find me there, tweet at us, and let us know what your thoughts on the program and the thoughts on the news that we're covering. We'd like to congratulate Brock TV and Brock Press for their coverage of this year's BUSU elections. And all I would say is that Brock TV should watch its audio levels and that Brock Press should never print with a graphic in the background.
So I write an email to Ms. Mead saying that members of the governance culture are in a state of confusion and concern after an email from Brock University official caused BUSAC to cancel the Affordable Food Project referendum. I'm seeking clarification on the following quotation. Quote, Brock University is currently seeking legal advice around the liability and legality for the collection of third-party ancillary fees, and as such, a referendum cannot be held at this time until a decision has been made. As reported by the Brock Press on January 28th, quote, this could have significant consequences for the Brock Student Sexual Violence Support Center, the Brock Press, CFBU, Oberg Brock, USA, the daycare, and the Student Refugee Program, end quote. Here are the questions that I posed to the administration, and we'll get to their response in a moment. I asked them to consider their response to be on the record, and asked that I would be using their responses here on CFBU and on my blog, brockbug.com. So I invited them on the program, and they are not ready to talk, but this is the question. These are the questions I asked. What initiated seeking legal advice around the liability and legality for the collection of third-party ancillary fees? What are the parameters for the legal query of liability and legality? Is this specifically regarding FedUp's referendum? What are the concerns? When is it expected for there to be a ruling on the liability and legality of third-party ancillary fees? And what are the potential scenarios that we can expect? I asked Kim for a timely response, which she provided. She copied her response to the Vice President of Finance of Brock University. A couple of days later, apparently they had a conversation, and Kim sent me this message. You can read the full text at brockbug.com. I spoke with the Office of the Vice President of Finance and Admin, says Ms. Mead, regarding my inquiry. Quote, at this time, the university is following up with the lawyer, and therefore, it's too preliminary to respond to your questions. When the university has a response, it will be shared with BUSU. Sorry, I don't have any more details regarding a timeline. So, at this point, what we are faced with is a whole bunch of non-answers. So I invite you to go to brocktv.ca/live and visit the Student Council video. Dig about an hour and a half deep
and look for M. Hepler speaking, and then followed by Cooper Millard. Some very interesting things are said in that video, and we've isolated some of those things in a special video we've produced at brockbug.com. So again, check that out. Coming up on the program very shortly, we are going to have a couple more clips from the executive election that is happening right now. Voting is commencing February 11th through the 13th through Brock Mail. We're going to hear from the Vice President of External Affairs candidates as rebroadcast from a Brock TV clip. We're going to hear them talk about their experience.
Drew Versacki.
My experience, primarily. I currently work as the Research and Policy Coordinator within BUSU. It's a position under the Vice President of University Affairs, and pretty much everything I do on a daily basis is within the VPA platform. I co-authored a policy paper for USA. I put together policies for BUSU itself. I've done a tremendous amount of research into the post-secondary education sector for not only BUSU but for USA themselves. And even just working with the advocacy coordinator, Abby, doing the background research, getting the information and kind of understanding how the post-secondary education sector works. On top of that, I've been a BUSAC counselor for multiple terms, addressing student issues on a bi-weekly basis. It's also given me the opportunity to sit on multiple committees, including legislative affairs, which deals with policymaking and legislation, ethics, the environment committee. I've been lucky enough to chair and vice chair a couple of those committees, so I've gotten a lot of great insight. I've also been on the BUSU Board of Directors, so I see how BUSU operates on a daily basis in the legal and financial realm. And I've seen the implications that, bad decision-making can have or good decision-making can have on students. And then on top of it, I currently sit as a student senator, so I see how the university itself operates, how to get things done within the university administration, and how to see best results for students.
Thank you.
Kevin Wilson.
So I'd say, similar to Drew, I would highlight my experience, but as well, my hard working and dedication for the student union. So first of all, I'm currently the vice chair of the board of directors. I'm also a student senator, and I sit on the external affairs committee, which are all very, very important things to BUSU. But on top of that, I've really, really tried this year to engage as many students in terms of the decision-making process that happens within BUSU. So I currently have a Facebook page where I upload every single agenda and every single, basically, before I go to any meetings, I upload the agendas and I try to engage students and get their input on any thing that might come up for meetings, whether it's the student senate issues, whether it's board of director issues, or whether it's BUSAC itself. I really think that in this role, we have to engage students and get research from them to provide solid lobby points to present to municipal governments, the federal governments, and the provincial government. So engaging students and what I'm currently doing is definitely probably my biggest strength. And I want to keep in mind that every single capacity I've worked for in BUSU, when I say worked, it's realistically volunteer work. I volunteered in every single thing I've done for BUSU, same with the Student Senate. I work very, very hard doing it. So I would definitely say my hard work and dedication alongside my experience.
Eric Deakins.
Could you repeat the question?
The question was, what makes you a suited candidate for Vice President of External Affairs?
I believe I'm an excellent candidate and an asset to the role of Vice President of External Affairs because in all facets of my life has molded me for this position. My academics have taught me to identify and direct objectively. My military career actually shaped me into an effective leader and very disciplined. I have 5 years of management skills and I have countless volunteer hours, many of which were on Brock campus. They taught me to learn from my mistakes and led me to my keys to success, which is effective delegation, to prioritize appropriately, and to give and receive constructive criticism.
Well, here's three candidates for Vice President of Student Services who all have the same opinion about the $32 per student programming levy. Take a listen.
Where do you stand on the referendum levy? How would you use this, and what would you do without it?
A lot of students don't realize that we're actually losing money every year.
I cannot express how crucial this program levy is.
Talk to the schools like Western and all the competing schools that do have all these program levies in their tuition fees as well. So will it help? Of course.
Diverse, informative, local, and Canadian artists. CFBU FM 103.7.
When we first learned about the fee, we heard about it as a proposal to council. It was $120 per first-year student, and then council edited that memorandum of understanding and changed the question after some lengthy debate to $32 per student. This would be approximately $6.50 per credit, to put it in the proportion of other ancillary fees, and create $500,000 a year for BUSU program. So for more information about this, you can visit their respective social media platforms, as well as pick up the Brock Press on page 18. There is a write-up from the no side and the yes side. Again, the question, do you support a $32 flat fee to be charged to all undergraduate students to support the Brock University Student Union programming levy as per the memorandum of understanding? That is, of course, $32 per year. Again, calculating to about $550,000 for events such as Orientation Week, Frost Week, and a variety of other programs. So I'm joined on the telephone by Liv Mariano, the Vice President of Student Services of Brock University Students Union, who is the spokesperson for a referendum that will be voted on through Brock email February 11th through 13th. This is the campaign period. The question is, do you support $32 flat fee per year to be charged to all undergraduate students to support the BUSU programming levy? Thank you for coming on the program, Liv.
Yeah, no worries.
So viewers can view the debate that took place between yourself and the No campaign at brocktv.ca/live. You can see the debate in full there. So let's just go through, first of all, why do you believe that this fee is a great opportunity for the students?
Yeah, so basically I'm on either side of the fence. I am a student, and then I'm also an elected official that works for the Brock University Students Union. So basically, over time, the student body has changed, and the needs of students have increased. So I can give you an example. For instance, now we have a homecoming concert, and we have things like Wellness Week, which takes place right before exams to de-stress students. So students want more programming. It's seen in our numbers and the emails we get and the surveys we do. But financially right now, we cannot gear or support the needs of the students. So me as, you know, I'm an elected official as well as a student, I acknowledge that. And this isn't a new idea by any means. The past four event programmers as well as the VPSSs have talked about this within the office. But we figured that, yeah, this year we're at a point now where we're really at trying to make ends meet. And in order to help the student body and increase programming and what we can provide students with, whether it is programming or services, something needs to happen. So, yeah, that's why I'm here.
When we looked at the budget, we saw the broad strokes, a large proportion for O Week and a large proportion for Frost Week. So much of the perception about this proposal has been calling it a party fee. How is this not a party fee?
That's a great question. So the individuals, most of them that are against this fee, are very much have the perception that this is just to fund things that are party-esque. That is by no means the only thing that BUSU does. It is a very small portion of what we do. So we have diverse programming, even that we do within O Week. So things like open mic nights or game nights, Wellness Week or charity initiatives, that is programming. And I think that it's really important to understand what programming is. It's the execution and planning of events, campaigns that we do, whether it's Movember or breast cancer. All of that is programming that we do for students in order to engage them and involve them in campus. So it does more than just, you know what I mean, our concerts and our raw kind of events. It's for the students, too, that are, you know what I mean, more passive and into things like a bingo or a trivia night. That's all programming. So, yeah, it's a huge scope of what we do. It also frees up more funds from our budget, which can allocate to things like our services at BUSU. So we would then have the funds to do things like our drive-home program, whether it's health and dental or foot patrol. So there's kind of two sides to it. The programming levy would help with our programming as well as free up funds for more of our BUSU services.
Help us understand the comparison between the budgets. So presently, outsiders such as myself in the media have calculated the amount of money made by sales of Access Gold at about $150,000. Are there other factors that we aren't considering, and what are those factors?
Yes, there are. So when we say that 66% of our budget is funded by the Access Gold program, that's that number that you gave is just our initial sales of the card. When we say the Access Gold program, you need to take into consideration the revenue that we make by any of our Access Gold events. That also goes back into our funding budget. So those numbers have to be included. So yes, that needs to be acknowledged as well.
What is Access Gold? I mean, for the students who don't go through Smart Start or are part-time students and are maybe a little bit older, what is Access Gold, and why is that something that is being changed now?
For sure. So Access Gold is an $85 card. Our lifeline for sales is like Smart Start, like you acknowledged. And basically what it is we sell it as an all-access pass. So when a student comes to Smart Start, I'd say 80% of our presentation, when we get 20 minutes to present to students, is on this card. And we talk about how they get a free O-Week with it, and there's benefits, like they get a T-shirt. They also get 10% off at our businesses. So it's like a card that was used in order to fund our programming, but at the same time, students would that bought into it would get certain benefits. I guess what you can say now is why it's not sustainable is because Access Gold sales by no means are going up. If anything, they're decreasing, and the student need is going up. Like I said, we have more concerts. People want more programming, and so it's not a sustainable method in order to fund those things. And what is also unfortunate is that it's unpredictable in the sense that it fluctuates from year to year. It makes budgeting extremely difficult, especially for the person in my position, because we're constantly reassessing where we're at. And it really is unfortunate that we have to sell our services to students. We can't just provide them or talk about them at Smart Start where, you know what I mean, if we don't get a certain X amount of dollars, then we can't even fund the programming that we want to talk to students about. So, yeah, that's essentially Access Gold in a nutshell.
How do you think Access Gold affects the first impression?
Oh, gosh. If you talk to, like, anyone in the office, the first impressions of BUSU are around being a salesperson, which is extremely annoying, honestly, for all of us because, you know what I mean, when you get 20 minutes to talk to students or even at the service fair, all they want to talk about is Access Gold or purchase Access Gold. We don't get the opportunity to talk about our BUSU services or our campaigns, fall reading week that we advocated for students on behalf of. Like, we don't actually get to tell students what we do because our focus is on this card. So, yeah, us as a student union, it is really stressful and just frankly annoying to be a salesperson instead of talking about, you know what I mean, these are my platform points. Or
like, when is the general meeting or what is the governance structure at all?
Yeah.
Sure.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, absolutely. I appreciate that. And I think it's very interesting. But the question will be, why the increase? So how do I phrase that? Do we have a budget of what is currently being spent in terms of programming? And then do we have is it clear what the new budget's increase is and what we're going to do with that in between?
There is an increase because we are promising students a free O-Week and then half price of any events after O-Week. And that's just because we frankly can't charge just more like higher ticket prices because students just wouldn't even come then. I guess your question was, yeah, the comparison. The budget does reflect bigger and better programming, and it takes into account kind of those things in the revenue. So there is an increase. I would say, like, do you want, like, a figure?
Of course.
I would say probably an increase of probably $200,000 to provide the services that are needed for students.
Okay.
I guess kind of going off of your other question, how do we know what students want, or you know what I mean, how do we know that this is lost opportunities? Through, like, we go out in the halls and table. We have event interns, actually, that go into, whether it's residence buildings or within their friend groups. And we have representation from international services from every year. We do Access Gold surveys. So the students that buy into Access Gold actually are surveyed on the events they want to see, and through tweets and emails from students. So we know the demand is there, and the budget reflects, I guess, opportunities that we miss out on. So, for instance, Mac asked us to come in on Bill Nye, and we couldn't do that. and I don't think students know even, like, the scope of how much programming does cost. It is quite expensive. And so, yeah, the budget allows for events to be bigger and better, bigger names, more frequency of it, and a more variety of programming for students.
Okay, well, we're going to have to stop there. We're talking with Liv Mariano, Vice President of Student Services of BUSU, and the spokesperson for the $32 per student programming levy. Please tell us where we can find out more and how we can contact you.
For sure. So you can find out more on www.programthis.org. There's a contact box on there. So if you want to shoot us any suggestions or anything, any questions you might have, feel free to, and we'll get back to you. And then we also are on Twitter. You can tweet us at hashtag programthis.
Okay, thank you so much, Liv. Have a good afternoon.
Bye.
For each question, both sides will get 1 2-minute response and then followed by 2 1-minute responses each.
So hello, my fellow Badgers. My name is Liv Mariano, and I'm currently the Vice President of Student Services for the Brock University Students Union, and I'm also a speech and language student. Right now, we are running a programming levy referendum, and it's because 93% of the programming that BUSU puts on for you is due to sales. Basically, it's funded primarily through the Access Gold program, as well as the sponsorship we bring in. And we realize that this isn't best practice when you compare it to other institutions, and it's not a sufficient way of moving forward in the future. It makes budgeting very extremely difficult. We cannot promise students things. It doesn't make for the frequency and diverse programming that students demand. So the solution, in order to accommodate with the increase in student demands as well as the industry demands, is a flat rate, a flat fee of $32 per undergraduate student. And this would include a week for every undergraduate student, as well as 50% off of every ticket post a week. So you're not paying $45 for a Dean Brody ticket, you're paying $22. Basically, why we're bringing this forward as well is that I'll kind of walk you through our summer months and how event planning starts. So essentially, we sit down and we do our budgeting, and our primarily sales are due to the Access Gold program, like I mentioned, and our lifeline for sales is through the Smart Start program. Students come through Smart Start, and we get to do about a 10-minute presentation to the students. 80% of that presentation is dedicated to selling them on this card, and we don't want to sell our services for students. We want to provide them with an experience, talk about our services at BUSU, our annual general meeting, governance, what we do, our campaigns, and instead we have to talk about these services, this card, in order to sell it, in order for us to provide the programming that they expect from their students union. Thank you.
Music and spoken word with an eclectic taste. This is CFBU 103.7 FM. Truly diverse radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Jason Tucker. I'm a fourth-year political science student here at Brock with a background in electrical engineering. And I took on the No campaign for a very simple reason. I think it's morally and fundamentally wrong to demand that 18,000 plus students be required to pay so that a small minority of them can go to a concert or have a party. It's not fair. It's not right. beyond that, ultimately, I'm a firm believer that we as students need to have individual choice over how we spend our money. Let's face it. I think that each and every one of us in this room is a responsible adult, knows how much money they have in their pocket, and knows without question that they can or cannot choose to spend it on entertainment or on food based on their own needs and their own priorities. And I believe that it is their right, not the right of a student government, not the right of anybody else, to tell them how to spend their money. On top of that, I know that Liv here mentioned budgeting, and one of the other factors in looking over the budget, looking over the memorandum of understanding, and even before we start, there are 18,500 students and small change studying here at Brock at $32 per, you're looking at almost $600,000 in total fees. When you look at the budget that's gone through, they're accounting for only $490,000 of it. Now, this is an introductory budget, but let's face it, if you're already missing $100,000 when you've only got $500 to play with, I have to ask some questions about your competence.
Thank you. We will start with our first question. Mr. Tucker, you will get to start. Why do you feel that your side best represents student interests?
Well, that's a great question. Thank you. And study after study, survey after survey has said time and time again that rising education costs and increasing student debt are the number one concerns of the student population across this country. I've got articles from the Vancouver, from sources as diverse as the Vancouver Sun, StatsCan, the Star Tribune. I've even got one absolutely heartbreaking article from, and I realize it's the Huffington Post, but still, discussing suicides of people because they are crushed by student debt. On top of that, actually, I even have a wonderful paper that was authored by, amongst other people, three gentlemen in this room, Mr. Ehrman, Yent, and Arsaki, that was done for USA, that voices a number of concerns about rising ancillary fees, including, and I'm going to quote this verbatim, and I quote, "Compulsory ancillary fees have increased substantially above inflation over the past two decades." Now, to put this in perspective, inflation last year was 1.2%. This increase in fees is 7.5% for a full-time student and almost 10% for an undergrad, an increase of between 600 and 900% above inflation. I'm going to quote another thing from that same paper. Concern number seven, that students have an unfair burden in financing access to services and goods that benefit the entire university. Again, ladies and gentlemen, this goes back to my original point. It is not fair, it is not right to demand that the majority pay so that a very small few can have a nice party, even two.
Why do you feel that your side best represents student interests?
So that's a great question. How do we know what students want? There's a few different avenues. One, we do Access Gold surveys. So everyone that buys into Access Gold, we do email blasts monthly asking, you know what they want, whether it's genre concerts or, all ages theme nights or whatever. We ask them. So we have tangible evidence. We also have an event intern committee with representation from anyone from the international services as well as from every year at Brock. And they have support networks that they go to and they ask questions and then they report back to us. And we plan events as a team. We do tabling in the hallways. So I will actually go out and I will ask students. For instance, I surveyed 500 students and asked them what the genre of OE concert they wanted. So we go out and we ask students what they want and if they're attending these things. We get tweets and emails weekly all the time. I get requests from students, you know what I mean? Can you bring in this person? Can you do more of this? Our number one comment you bring up mental health was why is Wellness Week just a week before exams to de-stress students? Why not more? funds. That's why. And HR hours. We just don't have that support. And our numbers at events. We have 3,000 people that show up to our big ticket concert. We had 500 people show up on the Isaac's patio at skating. We have tangible evidence where we know that students want more, and we pack our events and they're there. So that's how I know that I best represent students, and I know what they want. I go to them and I ask. And I wish I could go to them even more than I do and ask, what do you want? But I don't have the funds. The person in my position doesn't have the funds behind them to go to the student body and to ask them that, because they can't deliver on promises like that. It's just not feasible.
Mr. Tucker, your response, your first 1 minute response.
Thank you. And Liv, I just have a very few quick questions for you. First of all, you mentioned that you survey the people who purchase Access Gold, and I suppose that's a legitimate thing to do. You're asking people who pay into a service what they want. But I've got to ask, we are an academic institution. Have you ever heard of sampling bias? I'd also point out that asking somebody what genre of concert they want does not the same thing as asking, do you want another fee? Now, you bring up mental health, and I'm, again, going back to your own budget and ignoring the fact that the numbers don't match. Liv, you've pointed out less than 9% of the budget goes to Wellness Week, goes to Tony Lee, goes to all of these things. It's less than $50,000, and you're asking for $600,000. And every single dollar of the money you're asking for is accounted for. So really, calling this a mental health initiative is at best disingenuous and at worst blatantly false.
Thank you, Mr. Tucker. Ms. Mariano, your response.
All right. So you bring up surveys. So let me bring some right back at you. So survey after survey will also say that students that do attend events, that do campaigns, that are more socially engaged in their campus, have higher mental health rates. They have larger support networks. They also have better grades. They do better academically. You talk about student suicide. We as an organization have, because of that, have started Wellness Week. There are events, a week long of events, free massages, the puppy room, dedicated to the mental wellness of students. I don't see you in the halls. I don't see you campaigning to students. We are every day. We have our website up. We are asking students what they want, what services they want from BUSU. There's a question board on our table where we're going out in the halls and we're asking students. So we're doing our part actively in order to provide this. You bring up ancillary fees. Brock has one of the lowest ones in Ontario. So you really need to look at your surveys that you reference. Is it Brock's specific? Thank you.
Your response?
Okay, so first of all, you bring up surveys. I'm pretty sure that StatsCan has a lot more reliability than you. Next point, yes, you're right. You do Wellness Week. The total budget that you've allotted out of $600,000 for Wellness Week, for Tony Lee, for Dirty Bingo, is a measly $32,000. Can I ask very quickly off the top of your head, how much was Tony Lee of that? $32,000, less than 10%. You cannot call this a mental health initiative. It is essentially a case of the majority paying for a few concerts. Nothing more, nothing less.
Well, right now, I guess you can say that it's the minority paying for the majority, because students do come out to our events, but it's primarily the people that pay into the Access School that initially fund that. And that's just the nature of our events. So O-Week is the large sum, and we do acknowledge that. But O-Week is in place as a full long week of orientation programming to orientate first-year students with their campus. It's for either first-year students or upper-year students. The importance of it is extremely important. Students are dropped off literally on a curb. I help them move in every year by their parents, and they're on their own for the very first time. And it's to take their mind off of being away from home, and it's to get them orientated with their faculty, to meet friends. It's that that first week that you are here sets the tone for your entire year. So it's very much important, and that's just the nature of it. It's a week long of programming. Those events, those special events that we do monthly, they do just cost less, but they're still important.
I believe I gave Ms. Mariano the first shot for this first question. Or did I give it to Mr. Tucker? I gave it to Mr. Tucker. My apologies. Ms. Mariano, get the first to answer this question. The accountability of this referendum has been debated. Do you feel it? Do you feel that it has been properly debated? Explain further.
Yeah, so Tucker has always been bringing up this idea of lack of oversight. And it's very frustrating for me because we have so many hands that oversee it that we literally can't go wrong when we're budgeting and when we're allocating student dollars. So for instance, myself, an elected individual, the VPSS, as well as the VPFA, and in office, we have our annual general manager that has a degree in business, and she oversees all of the budgets for our businesses and everything, as well as our event programmer and our student event program or coordinator. All initially do the budgets. These budgets, and it's built into the MOU, have to be approved by board, so again, student elected officials. And there's also a three-year clause built into the MOU, so it has to be reassessed after 3 years by BUSAC, our student counselors, which are again elected. Roland also mentioned in his earlier that we also have a committee that oversees ancillary fees. So I don't think it's a matter of lack of oversight at all. There's so many people, students, hands in this, overseeing it and where student dollars are going. We're an organization. It's a BUSU levy. We haven't introduced one in 4 years, and the need is there now. We're a student organization for the students. So every dollar that you put into BUSU goes back to the students. We're a non-for-profit. So I don't think that it is a matter of a lack of oversight or accountability by any means.
And I think it's a fair question. I actually think it's an incredibly important one. Accountability and democracy is, frankly, it's one of the most important pillars of our entire institution, of our entire electoral system. And do I question the accountability of this referendum? Yes, I do, and I have to look at it like this. This is a $600,000 budget, and as it's presented on the website right now, there's $100,000 of it missing. They just not accounted for, and $105,000 in patronage appointments. So you have an organization that is asking for money for financial gain, whether it be for patronage, whether it be in missing money, and it's a legitimate question. You have an elected official of that organization standing here campaigning on behalf of the Yes side, and you have that same organization overseeing both the media and the election itself. You call it accountability. I call it a conflict of interest.
Yeah, like, first of all, BUSU has been unbiased. Our marketing team is solely dedicated just to promote voting, and you've talked about the whole time capitalizing on student apathy, yet it's our marketing team that are out in the hallways just trying to get students to vote. So I don't think that's a legitimate argument by any means. Our budget is based on previous year's budgets, what we spend, as well as what is required to keep up with the entertainment and student demands to make programming bigger and better for students. We've spent countless hours over and over again, late nights going over numbers and being countable. So I don't think it's a number of where, I just think you're reading it wrong. You reference like these missing dollars. Nothing's missing. It's literally, these are tangible numbers. We know how much OE costs. We know how much FROSB costs, and we know how much acts and lost opportunities have cost us. And those are all allocated into our budget that is found on our website. So I encourage everyone to check it out.
My response is very simple. You talk about no money missing and me having misread the budget. This is not a matter of misread. This is basic mathematics. There are 18,500 and small change students at this institution. At $32 per student, income from the new levy is going to be $592,000. In the budget, the number is about $480,000. Where is the other 112?
So you are correct with there's 18,000 students here. However, we represent undergraduate students. There's only about 15,000 undergraduate students. The rest are graduate students that wouldn't pay into this fee. So that's where those dollars are.
That is not the number that I've seen. And if, in fact, there are only 15,000 undergrads, then I have been misinformed, and I'm only, instead of $100,000 missing and $105,000 in patronage appointments, it is instead a $550,000 budget with $105,000 in patronage appointments. My concern still stands, and it is fundamentally a legal one.
Thank you. Mr. Tucker, you have the first two-minute conclusion.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am, I suppose, seated here before you today asking each and every one of you to listen carefully to what you've been told. Looking through a series of budgets, not just one as it's changed on the program, this website, looking at your preferences as an individual student as to could you spend the money better on somebody else's concert, somebody else's frosh event, or would it be better spent on, in one case, and again, I'm going to bring up one particular tweet that I saw, money, food for your kid. Is it better spent on a party? Is it better spent on what you yourself believe that you need? Should we necessarily trust a budget that is questionable at best, that's being sold as in support of mental health, when over 55% of it is for concerts that the vast majority of students will be incapable of attending? And I would ask each and every one of you to say no. More importantly than that, referendums fundamentally demand, referendums like this can thrive on voter apathy, and we've seen that in the past with a small majority of a very small minority of Brock students passing referendums increasing fees. So more than anything else, we need each and every one of you to get out and vote, and above all, say no.
Thank you, Mr. Tucker. Mariana, your conclusion?
Thank you very much for listening to this debate. I think both sides have been represented. I want to say that I'm a student too, and I think everyone forgets that I pay the same fees as everyone else, and I'm on both sides of the fence. I am a student, I pay fees, I go to school, and I get my diploma at the end of the day. But I'm also an involved individual that works for the student union, and I represent you, and I'm elected on behalf of you. And this is, your best interests are at heart. We can't just gain more sponsors because of sponsor apathy. There's no more money for them to give us. We can't just sell more cards. We can't just jack up ticket prices because that would do you a disservice. We want to provide students an experience while they're here, when they're with us. You talk about students paying for things, but if there's no opportunities for them to pay for, what are we giving them? And you talk about individual choice. Students have, we're giving them the individual choice to choose whether they're going to vote yes or no to this. You also bring up I also encourage the individual that brings up, the ability to fund food or, going to events. BSU also offers a food bank, so please look into that. Students have asked for this over and over again, and this is just our response to it. There's no other means. We've looked into literally every option. We want to provide you with a good student experience while you are here. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
For more information about the BSU election, visit BSU.net, as well as visit Brock Press and Brock TV. Both of those student media sources are on point with the election and referendum, and they are valuable sources of information. Of course, I also invite you to visit my blog at brockbug.com. We're going to end this program, today's program, with a rebroadcast from last week, a conversation with M. Hepler, who is an Oprah Brock coordinator and has been leading the charge in the Fed Up Sustainable Food Project. We talked to Mr. Hepler following the suspension of the Fed Up referendum in the Oprah office.
I've always had an interest in projects that sort of help students have easier lives and contribute to social justice, and food's an important part of that. Some students spend more money on food than tuition here at Brock, and tuition's already way too expensive. Student debt's a serious issue and a huge impact on how happy and healthy they are.
How did the project known as Fed Up begin?
It was a couple years ago. I believe it was 2011. It came up right after a survey that USA did on campus about how students felt about food services on campus. And they found that only 43% of Brock students were satisfied with food on campus. So we started in an attempt to create a positive outlet for students to work on food-based projects to increase the availability and affordability of food on campus.
In this episode of Point of View, we're talking with Peter Hennen, who started a petition called FAST, the Food Affordability for Students Today. What is the crossover and what is the difference between FedUp and FAST?
Well, they're both completely independent. They they're motivated by similar things that food on campus can definitely be improved, but they are separate. There's no working relationship between the two projects, but the motivation's the same, that the food on campus is too expensive and it's not at the quality that it should be.
The petition started by Peter, and I believe worked through the OPERG office. So Peter came here to OPERG with his moral stance, and then worked with OPERG in terms of how do we actually integrate that into the political structure. So that involved a petition, and that petition resulted in a standing order, political policy on that you can see on busu.net, which says, according to the policy, that BUSU stands for affordable food prices. So let's talk about the cancellation of FedUp. Let's first set the stage, and that means we need to understand that this was a student-led petition which initiated the referendum. So when did you start the petition process? How many signatures did you gain? And how many times have you been to council to explain the FedUp project?
We got just over 1,000 signatures, and we began the process in the fall of 2013 to sort of set the stage for the referendum. Our first point of contact with BUSU would have been in October, and we had the petition printed with the help of the government operations manager in early November, and then we're at council in November, December, and then again in January, both at the first meeting and once again on the 21st.
So the petition for referendum had quorum, which is the minimum number to be binding to make sure that there is a referendum. However, this referendum was canceled. How did you find out that the referendum was in trouble, according to the administration? And then what was the next step that you took?
The first time the administration sort of responded to the project after a few attempts to sit down with them was after the university had closed on December 18th. They had said that there may be a concern around collecting funding for a student-run nonprofit, but they cited no particular policy, and they said they were waiting on a legal opinion. Over a month later, at the January 21st BUSAC meeting, they still hadn't received a legal opinion, but had sent an email to the, I believe, the government operations manager, saying in one line that the referendum could not be held at this time.
And as we understand, that is an unprecedented situation where the university is directly telling BUSU, you can't do this referendum. You attended this council meeting knowing that the administration had provided this direction to BUSU. What did you suggest BUSU do in lieu of there being a referendum?
Well, it wasn't in lieu. I did try to persuade BUSU to stick to their policies and hold the referendum regardless of the assertion by the university. And a lot of counselors were very vocal and very opposed to halting the referendum. But for similar reasons, I requested that council run an opinion referendum, an opinion question in the upcoming election that asks students whether they're happy with the price of food, level of service, and food options offered by Sodexo at their three largest locations, Market, Lone Burger, and the DQ cafeteria.
What are the next steps for FedUp? What is next? Or are we still up in the air until we hear about third-party ancillary fees from the Brock's lawyer?
The project continues to grow. We've been operational for 2 years. The pursuit of funding for the student project just helps us sort of scale everything up and provide better and more service to students. So the project's still growing and volunteers are still coming in droves. But it's just this particular area that is, it's just the referendum specifically that's being halted. So right now we're about to start hiring for the summer student summer positions.
Is there any other information that you wanted to share with our Brock Radio audience?
We're just hoping to see students become more engaged, whether it's in their local campus media, both at CFBU or Brock TV, the Brock Press. It would be awesome to see students get involved in their student government at BUSU, because there's a lot of power that students have to make their campus a better place. So we'd just love to see them more engaged.
We've been talking with M. Hepler, coordinator at Oprah Brock. Thanks for talking to us. We're going to conclude the program with a conversation that we had in September with the director of athletics, Robert Hilson, as he came in to talk to Point of View about the Student Life Fee Committee. He had these comments to make about the election process at Brock University.
How do we do that? How do we improve, from a marketing terminology, message penetration into the population? How does the population become more informed so that a significant quorum of individuals can participate? I know it's a philosophical question, but since I have you here.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to take a stab.
Go for it.
So one of my comments about the last referendum, okay, so we should learn moving
right.
forward, was that in the constituency of student athletes and their network of people, they played scared. There are a lot of rules within BUSU that says where you can and cannot campaign, where you can and cannot even speak about the issue. So Karen and I actually even had some dialogue of, wow, we're at a university where this is what we should be encouraging. And our student athletes, this is only one population of the three, they were afraid to speak about this anywhere except at that table. So I think that's a room to grow, because I really honestly believe, no matter what you think of, is I believe that we're here to share and debate these things.
Okay.
So you get the motion out there, you talk about it, you debate it, and then you see whether this is good for an institution or not.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that if you're on the yes side, there are a lot of rules that keep you to basically controlling your exchanging your message at a table that's 6 feet by 2 feet.
It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. Slowly, the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is please leave us alone in our living room. Let me have my toaster and my TV, my steel belt and radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone.
No recovery, 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 no recov recovery, no 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 recovery